In 70 AD, the Jewish nation was destroyed by the Romans. There would be no more official Jewish state in the Middle East again until 1948. This modern nation of Israel has been the center of controversy and involved in an almost perpetual state of war with the native Palestinians or her Arab neighbors. How should Christians view the Jewish people, both historically and prophetically? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
The Bush administration continues to struggle with attempts to solve the unending Israeli-Palestinian crisis. Some Israeli leaders have agreed in principle to a Palestinian state, but the issue is a political minefield since the disputed West Bank and Gaza Strip now contain 163 Jewish settlements containing 214,000 settlers. Some Palestinians live peaceably with their Jewish neighbors, while another approximately 623,000 are corralled in squalid refugee camps dotting the occupied territories. Time magazine sums up the dilemma of these people. Quote, although Palestinians cling to the UN-endorsed right of return, it's not going to happen. To let hundreds of thousands of Palestinians live inside Israel would be suicide for the Jewish state, destroying it by demographics. Yet the refugees have to find a home somewhere, or succeeding generations will never stop making war on Israel, unquote. The discord is complicated by religious issues. This same report in Time states, both sides want the ancient city, Jerusalem, as their political and religious capital. Camp David negotiators foundered over the Muslim and Jewish holy places, which sit virtually on top of one another. The Palestinians insist over the sovereignty over the Harim al-Sharif, where their ancient shrines sit, and Israel cannot give up the ground underneath it, where the Western Wall and the remnants of Solomon's Temple lie. Whose land is it? The Jews and the Palestinians claim that the land of ancient Canaan was given to them by God through Abraham. Where should Christians stand on this issue? Is the possession of this ancient and storied land simply a political matter? The Israelis turn to the Hebrew Scriptures, what Christians call the Old Testament, to stake their claim that God gave the land to them through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Arab Muslims use the Quran to support their position that the land is Allah's gift to them through Abraham and Ishmael. The Old Testament records the story of a covenant God made with the patriarch Abraham. In Genesis 15, Abraham is told that his descendants will spend four centuries in a foreign land, but will be brought back to the land of promise. The covenant stipulates that this land of promise encompasses a large area centered around the city of Jerusalem. The rest of Genesis records how God dealt with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and how their descendants, known as the people of Israel, migrated to Egypt. The book of Exodus chronicles how God destroyed the great Egyptian nation to bring the Israelites, now grown into 12 tribes, back into the promised land, just as he had affirmed to Abraham. Contained in the pages of the first five books of the Bible is the story of how the Israelites rebelled against God and wandered for 40 years in the desert until God finally led them to the land promised to Abraham. Before they entered the land, the elderly Moses gathered the people and told them God's message. If they obeyed Yahweh, they would receive blessings. If they chose to disobey, they would receive curses and be driven from the land. Now let's pick up what God says to them in Deuteronomy 30. Now if you don't have a Bible in front of you, get one and follow along. Here it says, now it shall come to pass, when all these things come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and you call them to mind among all the nations where the Lord your God drives you, and you return to the Lord your God and obey his voice, according to all that I command you today, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul, that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity, and have compassion on you, and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. God tells the Israelites that someday he will remove their descendants from the land they were just then preparing to possess. He continues, now listen, if any of you are driven out to the farthest parts of heaven, from where the Lord your God will gather you, and from there he will bring you, then the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. and he will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers. And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live. Also, the Lord your God will put all these curses on your enemies and on those who hate you, who persecute you. And you will again obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command you today. Notice, God tells the ancient Israelites that they will one day be driven from their country, scattered throughout the nations, only to be brought back to the promised land at a future time. The progeny of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob grew into a thriving nation, reaching a peak of economic and political power around 1000 BC under the reign of King David, son of Jesse of the tribe of Judah, and his son Solomon. Now, once again, God intervenes in the history of Israel by making a remarkable agreement with King David. We find the account of this covenant in 2 Samuel 7, where God tells David through the prophet Nathan, "And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever." The promise concerning the greatness of David's kingdom encompassed more than Solomon's reign. God reveals through the prophets that a descendant of the Jewish king David would be a special person who became known as the Anointed One, or the Messiah. The prophet Isaiah was inspired to write about this offspring of Jesse, father of King David, in Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 12. Read along. "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked." In verse 10, Isaiah writes, "In that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles or the nations shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious." The Messiah doesn't just come to heal and rule the Jewish people, but to bring peace and prosperity to all peoples. Verse 12 contains a prediction of the future of Israel and Judah. It says, "He will set up a banner for all the nations and will assemble the outcast of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." King Solomon's reign proved to be the glory years for ancient Israel. Political intrigue and an abandonment of the religion of the covenant caused such a rift among the 12 tribes that around 931 BC, the kingdom became divided into two nations. The northern kingdom of Israel was destroyed by the Assyrians in 722 BC. After Israel's destruction, God continued to warn the southern kingdom of Judah through prophets like Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, and Ezekiel. The nation fell to the Babylonians in 586 BC. After 70 years of captivity, the Jews did return to Jerusalem, where they regained independence under the Maccabees, only to be eventually subjugated by the Romans. The nation of Judah was erased from the map when the Roman army burned Jerusalem to the ground in 70 AD. Is God finished with the Jewish people? Do they yet have a part to play in salvation history? Has God abandoned the Jews? We'll be back to discuss these important questions right after this.
The book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, is to many people its most confusing. They find its strange symbols and images puzzling and mysterious. But it need not be so. The book's very name means a revealing, a way to gain understanding. Its first verse tells us it was written to reveal things which must shortly take place. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Order today.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232 The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We have with us today in the Good News Radio studio two guests who've been featured on the program in the past and always have fascinating comments on biblical prophecy. We'll welcome Darris McNeely, Managing Editor of World News and Prophecy, and Dr. Ralph Levy, Instructor at Ambassador Bible Center. Gentlemen, it's great to have you with us today.
Good to be here with you.
Good to be here.
Let's get right into it. The Israeli-Palestinian conflict is a very emotional issue for people on both sides. Does the Bible indicate how Christians should approach this issue?
Well, I think this one scripture that immediately comes to mind, Gary, is in Psalm 122 and verse 6, where it says that the admonition is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. The proper approach to Jerusalem and the problems of the people and the issues that are surrounding that city is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and a blessing upon those who do so. I think that begins any discussion, any thought about the future and certainly the present solution for that city.
Christians recognize that the Bible has a lot to say about the return of Jesus Christ and the establishment of the millennial age. And so when we talk about this particular conflict, we as Christians look toward the future and the return of Jesus Christ the Messiah, recognized in both Jewish, Christian, and Muslim theology, as the one who will ultimately bring justice and equity for all peoples of the earth.
How important, you talked about the Messiah, how important was the role of the Jewish people in a prophetic fulfillment in the first coming of the Messiah?
Well, the scriptures very clearly show that Jesus Christ, who we believe to be the prophesied Messiah of the scriptures, was born of the line of Judah, of the tribe, the nation of Judah, which constitute the Jewish people. He was a direct descendant from Judah, prophesied to rule on the throne of David and be a direct descendant of David. So those prophecies right there were fulfilled directly in Jesus Christ's life and his first coming.
Yes, as Darius said, there are very specific prophecies in the Old Testament and the New Testament about Jesus Christ coming from the tribe of Judah. For example, here in the book of Micah, in the Minor Prophets, there's a very famous prophecy about Jesus Christ. It's in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, where we read, "But you, Bethlehem Ephratah," this is the name of a town in Judah, "though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." So Christ was to be born in Bethlehem of the tribe of Judah. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 14 makes the same point, that our Lord came from Judah. And so Jesus Christ came from the Jewish people. The Jewish people had to be around to produce Jesus Christ, who ultimately is to be the Savior of the world.
And of course, when we talk about his physical lineage, we're talking about Mary, obviously, because God was his father, at least according to what we understand and read in the New Testament. Okay. We're going to discuss a lot of issues concerning the Jewish people. Let's start this. I mean, is God done with the Jewish people as far as the Bible's concerned? Is sort of the coming of the Messiah, Jesus is the Messiah, was that the end of their role in salvation history or the plan of God?
That's an interesting question, because I think that's essentially the same question that's asked in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul asks the same question in his epistle to the Romans in chapter 11, where he has a lot of interesting things to say about the future of Israel and about the future of the Jewish people. And in Romans 11, verse 1, Paul asks, "I say then, has God cast away his people?" And then he answers, "Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin." Paul was of the tribe of Benjamin, but he was a Hebrew, as he refers to himself, of the house of Judah. And then he continues, "God has not cast away his people whom he foreknew." So God has yet to work with the Jewish people, and he will do that. He will work with them and give them an opportunity for redemption and give them an opportunity for salvation at the return of Jesus Christ, at his second coming, which is also prophesied in the Bible.
I think also we need to go to verse 26 of that chapter in Romans 11, verse 26, where Paul goes on to say that so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And so Paul answered that question, which I think really we should understand was a major question of the first century and the church. What about Israel? What about the future? has God cast off his people? And Paul directly spoke to that question, and it's really the same question that revolves around so many of the issues that are in today's news.
So it's a question of first century, and it really is a question that Christians need to be asking today. We have a lot more to discuss, but first we want to tell you about a booklet that really can help you in understanding the Bible. It's offered on today's program free, the Book of Revelation Unveiled. So jot down the toll-free number when it's announced here in a minute so you can order your copy today, and we'll be right back after this.
Human efforts at predicting the future are notoriously inaccurate. Self-proclaimed seers and prophets have been proven wrong time and time again. But there is a sure way to know what the future holds. It's written in advance in the pages of the Bible. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. This 32-page full-color booklet will take you through the major themes of the Book of Revelation, helping you discover how it all fits together. For your free copy, call right now 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
We're back in the studio talking with Darris McNeely and Dr. Ralph Levy. If you've just joined us, we've been discussing the Israeli-Palestinian crisis in the light of the Christian Bible. Many Christians see the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948 as prophetically important. Now, what place does the modern State of Israel have in biblical prophecy?
Well, that's a very good question, and it has been debated for more than 50 years and discussed in circles of students of the Bible and prophecy, Gary. Prophecy students look at this event, the establishment of the State of Israel, the modern State of Israel in 1948 and the partition there, as really a critical event in the final restoring of Israel to the land. They look at the scriptures from the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel that talk about Israel being regathered in the time of the end and brought back into the land, to the promised land, the one given and promised to Abraham and to their descendants. And they look at that fulfillment, that key political event of 1948, as the perhaps single fulfillment of those prophecies. And when that's properly examined and understood, it's not exactly the case. Certainly it is important, and we look at certain prophecies in the Bible to have a presence of, let's say, the descendants of Abraham in that land. There are a number of prophecies for us to look at to fulfill certain ones. Jesus Christ, for instance, in Matthew 24, the Olivet prophecy. He spoke of those that were in Judea to flee to the mountains. He talked about when you see what he called the abomination of desolation, stand in the holy place, which is an indication of a sacrificial system of some sort, standing in some type of a holy place. And obviously that's a direct reference to what was the temple and the presence there of God's plan through the nation of Israel. But he's putting that in an end time context, and that's an important locator of prophecy at the time.
Yes, I think so. The events of 1948 and also the events of 1967 were very important in laying a groundwork for events to take place yet in the Middle East. It's clear from the Bible that the Jews were to have and will have a presence in Jerusalem right at the end of the age before the return of Jesus Christ. It's required by certain of the prophecies in the books of Daniel and the book of Zechariah, for example, in the Old Testament, that they have to be there, that they will have a religious and a political presence. And so, in a sense, if we had understood these prophecies correctly, those who understood them could foresee the fact that the Jews would be present in Jerusalem and would have a political presence there in these areas, and that this would prepare the way, in a sense. It would be there in presence when Jesus Christ returns to this earth.
The critical thing is to probably just look at those scriptures and just not read too much into them, because they certainly speak of sacrifices. They certainly speak of a presence in the lineage of the biblical record and of practices there that are normally associated with the Jewish people and specifically a temple. Many people feel that there must be a temple rebuilt, and they look for that. In fact, many people are even preparing some of the vestments for a priesthood and other artifacts that would go into a restored, rebuilt temple there on the Temple Mount. That isn't as clearly indicated in the scriptures as the fact that there would be sacrifices. And so, again, to try to read too much into the scriptures or even force the fulfillment of some of these prophecies is a trap that a lot of people fall into today, and we should be very careful not to go that far.
Now, you were talking about how 1948 is important. But there's a lot of people that apply an importance to it beyond just an establishment of a Jewish presence there. But they fulfill a lot of prophecies that, in reality, are about the Messiah. Now, are there very specific prophecies that concern the Jews before and during the second coming of the Messiah?
There are a lot of prophecies in the Old Testament that talk about the Jews and their presence in the Middle East before the second coming of the Messiah. For example, the Old Testament prophet Zechariah, in the 12th chapter of Zechariah, without wanting to read a big, long chunk of this particular prophecy, it's very interesting, and we could invite our listeners to follow up on it themselves. But in the 12th chapter of Zechariah, God talks about making the governors of Judah like a fire pan in the woodpile, and like a fiery torch in the sheaves. And then Jerusalem shall be inhabited in her own place. So prophecies like this indicate the presence of Jews in the Middle East and in Jerusalem. And then it goes on to talk in verse 7 about Jesus Christ. It's prophetic of Jesus Christ and says the Lord will save the tents of Judah first, the tents of Judah being the presence of the Jews in the Middle East. And so obviously Christ will return, and one of the things that he will do will be to intervene in the affairs of the Middle East and intervene in those affairs that impact the lives of the Jewish people there.
Another one of the major prophets that talks about a presence in the Middle East is Daniel in chapter 11, the longest prophecy there in the book and really in the Bible. Comes down to a point where it talks about forces and armed forces coming into the glorious land there in what is called the time of the end as a result of conflicts that rage back and forth, north between south, king of the north, king of the south. And they go and pass over into the glorious land. So there's going to be a disruption of the current status quo over there that takes place at that time prior to Christ's return.
So most of the prophecies concerning the Jewish people at the end time weren't fulfilled by the events of 1948, but yet have to be fulfilled. Here's a difficult question. Where do the Palestinian people fit in the plan of God? I mean, are they somehow condemned by God? Are they despised by God? Where do they fit in all this?
Well, the Palestinian peoples in the current situation there in the Middle East are people who historically have lived in that land. They have antecedents there, and they were obviously displaced in the last century when the Jewish state was formed there, and a war was fought both in 1948 and 1967. They certainly have been there for a number of years, and they, through their birthright and even through their religious life, lay a claim there that they feel they have a right to be there.
Where do they fit in the plan of God?
Seems that Palestinians are descendants of some of the patriarchs. It's interesting that when we look back into the Old Testament, we find examples of reconciliations among families. Palestinians and Jews have, on certain occasions, been referred to as cousins. And even though there's a terrible enmity between the two people, there are biblical examples, for example, back in the 33rd chapter of the book of Genesis, where there was a terrible rift between the two brothers, Jacob and Esau, and that rift was healed. And so there is the hope that there's going to be reconciliation between the Jewish and the Palestinian peoples in God's fullness of time.
The Jewish people, of course, occupy a unique place in salvation history. The Bible reveals that through promises made to Abraham, they would be recipients of the promised land, and through them, Jesus the Messiah was brought into this world. It also reveals that they would be punished by God for their disobedience and rejection of the Messiah. Over the past 2,000 years, the Jewish people have been persecuted and the victims of attempted genocide. Many times, the most vehement prosecutors or persecutors have been Christians. Now, I want to ask Darris McNeely and Dr. Levy to join us next week to discuss this subject of the relationship between the Jews and the Christians.
Be glad to come back and do so.
Happy to do it. Look forward to it.
So we invite our audience to join us next week as we continue our series, Has God Abandoned the Jews? Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping the future God wants for you and simply going on the way you have been. A choice? It's up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
The book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, is to many people its most confusing. They find its strange symbols and images puzzling and mysterious. But it need not be so. The book's very name means a revealing, a way to gain understanding. Its first verse tells us it was written to reveal things which must shortly take place. We've prepared an exciting, eye-opening new booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, to help you understand what will take place in the days ahead. For your free copy, call right now, 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The Book of Revelation Unveiled, you can discover the truth of this surprising message Jesus Christ brought. There is no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232. Order today.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.